Good morning and greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're so glad that you could join us this morning, where we could come to worship the Lord, we could come to praise the Lord, we could come to give God glory, give Him honor, give Him thanksgiving on this first day of the week, resurrection morning. You know, the Bible says that Jesus rose on the first day of the week, and the first day of the week is normally Sunday. Amen. So this morning we come to praise and worship and thank the Lord for His goodness, for His mercy, for His kindness, for His blessing towards us for this week that has gone by and how He has watched over us. So this morning, can we open with the scripture? Can we read from Psalms? Like to read Psalms 87. The book of Psalms 87. Praise God. Psalms 87. Praise God. Psalms 87. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Selah. And as well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. Amen and amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Shall we pray this morning to open our service to give glory unto our Lord this morning? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, this morning we come before you, Lord God, with praises on our lips this morning. Recognizing that you are our King, you are our God, you are our Savior, you are our Father, you are all in all. Lord, you called us by your voice, Lord, to follow after you, Lord. You predestinated us before the world was even formed, Lord. You placed in us a seed, O God, that is eternal, in that soul, O Father. And send your Son, the Lord Jesus, to redeem us and bring us back unto you, O great God. So this morning, Lord, we are so thankful for this privilege and this opportunity, O great God, to come before you, to worship you, to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus, to worship him, to praise him, to give him glory, to give him honor, to give him thanksgiving, and, Lord, to hear what he has to say unto us this morning. Father, we in ourselves are nothing, Lord. We are but like the dust that the wind bloweth away. But Lord, this morning, we are your sons. We are your daughters. Lord, we have made mistakes. We have failed you. We will make mistakes and fail you, Lord, until you come for us and take us away. Father, Lord God, forgive us for our faults. Forgive us for the things that we have said wrong and done wrong. Have mercy upon us this morning, Lord, and blot out all our unrighteousness. So this morning we come to praise you as sons and daughters of God. Father, may you bless those who are on the internet listening, Lord. May you quicken the word of God to them. Those who would come on the archives later on, my Lord, may you quicken the word. May it stir in their hearts, O Lord Jesus, as we speak your word this morning. Those on the telephone hookup, O great eternal God, may you, Lord God, give them grace this morning. May you heal them, Lord. May you touch them. Strengthen them this morning, we pray, O great Jehovah God. And Lord God, those who are gathered here this morning, there will be a few in number. You say, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you will be in the midst. And this morning, we here gathered together in your name. May you come down, O great eternal Spirit, and pour out your Holy Spirit, even as your word said you would do. We believe your word, Lord. We ask these things now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise and glory to your name. Amen and amen. and amen. Oh, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him, praise Him. Oh, praise Him when the sun goeth down, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus when the sun goeth down. Love Him. Oh, love Him, love Him. I love Him in the morning, love Him in the noontime. Love Him, oh, love Him. I will love Him when the sun goes down. Praise Him. Oh, praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him, praise Him. Oh, praise Him when the sun goeth down. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You start to worship Him. You start to praise Him. And He's there coming nearer and nearer. And you feel the blessed presence of His Holy Spirit. And the angels are coming nearer and nearer. May those angels, those are on the internet listening, may come nearer and nearer to your home. Oh, and those on the hookup, may the angels of the Lord come closer and closer. Feel the presence of the Almighty God. Amen this morning. Let us sing the song from the Only Believe songbook. If you have your Only Believe songbook, we'll surely like you to follow along with us. We sing every day, every Sunday, out of the Only Believe songbook. Praise God, amen. And we're going to sing the song, We Are Marching to Zion. Amen. Praise God. And this morning, and again, we want to continue on that message, the Holy Convocation this morning. There's so many much more quotes, and we hope we could wrap it up this morning. But we could never finish talk about the New Jerusalem, the Holy Convocation, or the new city, and so on. Let's sing the song, number 15 in the Only Believe songbook, We Are Marching to Zion. Come ye that love the Lord, and let your joys be known. Join in the song with sweet accord, join in the song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we are marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We are marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, walk the golden streets, oh, walk the golden streets. We are marching with Jesus, beautiful, beautiful Jesus. We are marching upward with Jesus, the beautiful Son of God. Then let all songs abound and every tear be dry. We are marching, O Emmanuel's ground. We are marching through Emmanuel's ground. To fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. Oh, we are marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We are marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are marching upward to Zion. We are marching with Jesus. Amen. Praise God. That's the goal in our life. Not just to make the rapture only, but that goal in our life is to be in that new Jerusalem, that new city that is going to be set up here on the kingdom, on this earth. Amen. In Jerusalem. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And if you make that rapture, you're going to make that city. But our eyes is on that city, that beautiful, beautiful city that John saw coming down from heaven. Amen. Let's sing from our Only Belief Songbook, hymn number 123. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's a holy and beautiful city. It's an old song. I'm going to try to sing it this morning. Praise God. It was just bubbling in my heart this morning while I was studying a little bit. That pearly white city. The Only Belief Songbook, hymn number 123. Amen, amen. Praise God. There's a holy and beautiful city whose maker and builder is God. John saw it descending from heaven when Patmos in exile he trod. Its high massive wall is of jasper, the city itself is pure gold. And when my frail tent here is folded, mine eyes shall its glory behold. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for that white city John saw coming down. No sin is allowed in that city, and nothing defiling nor mean, nor pain, oh, nor sickness can enter, nor scrape on the doorknob is seen. Earth's sorrows and cares are forgotten, no tempter is there to annoy, no parting words ever were spoken, there's nothing to hurt and destroy. No heartaches are known in that city, no tears ever moisten the eye. There's no disappointment in heaven, no envy and strife in the sky. The saints are all sanctified holy, they live in sweet harmony there. My soul is now set on that city, and someday its blessings I'll share. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for that white city John saw coming down. My loved ones are gathering yonder, my friends too are passing away, and soon I shall join their bright number and dwell in eternity's day. They're safe now in glory with Jesus, their trials and battles are past. They overcome sin and the tempter, they've reached that fair city at last. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for that white city John saw coming down. Amen, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. What a promise. That bright city John saw coming down. Amen. Set your hopes on high, my brother. Set your hopes on high, my sister. Glory to God. That is our hope. We are pilgrims and strangers in this land. We just are passing through. Amen. Our heart is set upon that city. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's sing the song. Song number 174 in the Only Believe songbook. When the saints go marching in, we must be in that rapture, brother and sister. Make the rapture, make the your calling an election sure. Do not let anything hold you back this morning, hold you back in your life. Oh, praise God, that will prevent you from making that rapture. Because if you're armed, as the Bible says, offend you, cut it off. Amen. It means to save something that is very close to you, that is going to keep you from the rapture. Sever that relationship, my brother. Come out of her, my people. Revelation 18:4 says, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her wicked deeds. Amen, amen. And if your church is preaching a false doctrine, if your church is a denominational spirit, come out of them, my people. Come out of them and come into the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's sing the song number 174, Only Believe songbook. When the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. Oh, wandering through this world of sin. Oh, on my way to that fierce city. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints, hallelujah, Lord, go marching in. Oh, thank you, Lord. When the saints go marching in. Oh, and I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, I'll know, I'll see my Savior. Oh, if my life is free from sin. Heaven's door will open for me. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when we gather round the throne and the gates are closed within, I'll be shouting glory, glory. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Hallelujah, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. I am waiting for the chariot to swing low and I'll step in. On the clouds I'll ride to heaven. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Hallelujah, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching. One more time. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Hallelujah, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the seas go marching in. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is our hope this morning. Oh, that is the goal in our life, to be among that number when the saints go marching in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, that is your hope tonight, brother, sister. Call upon the name of the Lord. Cast aside every sin that easily beset you, and let us call upon the name of the Lord. We must make this rapture, brother and sister. Amen. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Amen, amen, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's sing hymn number 182 in the Only Believe songbook. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hymn number 182 in the Only Believe songbook, Where We'll Never Grow Old. Amen. Praise God. Let me see if I could start it with a chorus. Never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old, never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old. I have heard of a land on the far away strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul. It's built by Jesus on high. There we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we'll never grow old. Oh, never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old. And in that beautiful home, where we'll never more roam, we shall be in the sweet by and by. Happy praise to the King, through all eternity sing. 'Tis a land where we'll never grow old. And when our work here is done, and the life crown is won, and our troubles and trials are o'er, all our sorrow will end, and our voices will blend with the loved ones who've gone on before. Never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we never grow old. Never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. In a land where we never grow old. That's the new Jerusalem. That's the millennium. Amen. We live forever and forever and forever. Amen. All eternity. Oh, never grow old. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we are where we are going. We are going home. And where is our home? Our home is New Jerusalem. Now, our home is not the wedding supper in the sky. Our home is not only the millennium, but it's the New Jerusalem. That's our eternal home. Amen, amen. Going home, I am going home. There is nothing to hold me here. I caught a glimpse of my heavenly home. Praise God, I am going. One more time. In home. Oh, go in home. I am going home. There is nothing to hold me here. I caught a glimpse of my heavenly home. And praise God, I am going in home. Let's sing it one more time, because today we're going to talk about that heavenly home, the holy convocation, the New Jerusalem, the new earth. Amen. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. So go in home. Now catch a glimpse. I am going home. There is nothing to hold me here, nothing to hold you on the earth. Amen. I've caught a glimpse of my heavenly home. And praise God, I am going home. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So this morning, we want to catch a glimpse of that heavenly home this morning. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. This heaven, Dr. Branham and other ministers and the Bible have spoken about. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So this morning, if you are here for the first time on the internet, I'd just like to introduce myself. My name is Brother Virgil C. Prasad. I'm the local elder here at Bride Age Christian Fellowship. We are a group of individuals that is looking for a home in, upon the earth here, which is the New Jerusalem. We are a group of individuals. We are looking for the rapture, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now we who are alive and remain shall not prevent those who those who are asleep, but they shall rise first, and we'll be caught up to meet him in the air together. Amen. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the rapture. We're looking for the catching away. We're looking for Jesus Christ to break forth the skies between 6 and 9 a.m. probably, and then caught up to meet him in the air. We are praying. We have seen the scripture. We have seen revelation in the word of God. We've seen where God, where Jesus Christ have written the word of God is the infallible word of the living God, is the Bible. And we saw in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, he said, "Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And we see in Revelation 13, I'm sorry, in Revelation 3:14. Praise God. In Revelation 3:14, it says, "But unto the angel to the Laodicean church age, write, amen, amen." And what we have recognized that we are in the last church age, which is the Laodicean church age, according to the scripture. And it says, "And unto angel of the church of the Laodicean," that is Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Praise God. And who it was that saying this? It was the Amen, the faithful and true witness. And who is the Amen? The Amen is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who is the faithful and true witness? None other but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we see from Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, where we see those seven church ages, that the Gentile dispensation, the times of the Gentile dispensation were divided up into seven church ages, starting from Ephesus all the way down to Ephesians, all the way down to Laodicea. Amen. And we are in this final age. And this final age, God has promised to send a messenger. Amen. That he will speak to, and that messenger will speak to the Laodiceans who have come out of Laodicea. Amen. And what we see in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 10. Sorry, my voice is a little greedy this morning. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. And it says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound." Now, what is the scripture is saying here? It's talking about that same angel that is speaking in this last church age, which is Laodicea. Amen. And everyone know that we are in the last age. We're in the last age. We're in the closing time, the end of the world, continuing the scripture. "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets." So we see here in Revelation 10:7 that Revelation 3:14 has to be a prophet. Amen. And Revelation 3:14 is the voice, amen, of an age, amen, of a messenger that comes in the last age to wrap up all the mystery of God. And the mystery of God is Jesus Christ. We must know who he is, amen, when he's coming. What are his attributes? We must know him. Amen. Praise God. And we see that this there must come a prophet. And Jesus said, yes, Elijah must also come before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. Yes, he's saying, just as John the Baptist, Elijah came and forerun, there must be a messenger that must come in this last days to forerun the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. According to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 and verse 22. And according to Malachi 4, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, the Bible say that there must come a message to introduce Jesus Christ, to say, "Behold the bridegroom." Amen. According to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And way back in 1933, there was a man of God, a minister, on baptizing people on the Ohio River. And when he was baptizing the 17th person, there came a bright light, a fireball light, that came and hung over the river. And out of that light came a voice, and it says, as John the Baptist, "For on the first coming of Christ, so shall your message, for on the second coming of Jesus Christ." And that message that came was his name was Brother William Marion Branham.
Amen.
And we believe that Brother Branham was the messenger to this seventh age. He was a messenger that pulled the people out of the Laodicean church age and brings them into the eternal church age, into the bride age, to usher them into the millennium. And from the millennium, we'll go into the New Jerusalem. This man was a prophet of God. Signs, wonders, and miracles follow this man of God. There was no one in the history of mankind since the days of the apostles that had any documented ministry like this man. I challenge everyone to compare any other minister since the days of the Lord Jesus Christ to compare with Brother William Marion Branham. He was one of the greatest evangelists that the world has seen. He was a prophet of God. Amen. Now you may say I'm uplifting a man. The reason I'm bringing, because we must recognize the day and the message. And how can you recognize the day and the message unless you recognize the man that God sent? If a king sends a message to you, or let's say the president of the United States sent a message to you by a man, let's say the man went through an accident and he's all ragged and he come knocking at your door with a presidential letter, you wouldn't want to receive it. You would think, oh, this man is not worthy to even bring. It can't be the president. You would see black cars and secret agents of service, and you don't. And you might want to not refuse. Might want to refuse that message that the president's in. In the same way, people are looking at the man, brother William Marion Banner, as a human being, and they're saying, ah, no, he can't bring no message because you know he had faults, he had failings. But we fail to understand that God sent a message. He sent a message through a messenger, and that messenger is brother William Marion Branham. Sure, he was a man of faults. He was a man that made mistakes, and we all make mistakes. There was none perfect but Jesus Christ. And this man brought a message, and we are following this man's message because this message is what is preparing for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may say we follow a man, but didn't Paul say, follow me as I follow Christ? So we follow brother Branham. As we follow Paul, as we follow Peter, as we follow James, as we follow John and others, we follow a man because they follow Christ. And when the man make a mistake, we bypass that mistake and we still follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God came down in this last days and set an example amongst us. Amen. Now there are a lot of people out there on the internet that are condemning the man. But you check your own life, brother. Could your message, could your ministry match with this ministry of this man called brother William Marion Branham? Brother Branham was a signpost. Brother Branham was an example unto us. Yes, a signpost. But a signpost has a sign. And that sign is pointing us to the rapture, to the resurrection, to the New Jerusalem. And I'm going to read today about our holy convocation, the New Jerusalem. It's a sign. He was pointing us there. He was not pointing to himself, but he was pointing us to the rapture and the resurrection. So, brother and sister, that is what we believe. I have no message of my own. I have a message I was brought by brother William Marion Branham, the prophet of God for this age. And if someone does not listen to this message, brother, you cut yourself off from a direct knowledge of what God is sending to you. So if you refuse to read this presidential letter that you got from this man, if you refuse it, it could have been an invitation. And if you show up, if you don't show up at an invitation, you write and say, we reserve a seat. Why didn't you show up? It's because you refused the invitation. And in the same way, if you refuse to recognize Brother Branham as a prophet of God and refuse to acknowledge his message, refuse to follow his message, how do you know what the king is saying? How can you get ready? Brother Branham brought a message to prepare the bride for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you like to know more about Brother Branham and his message, you can visit the website www.branham.org, and there you'll find all of Brother Branham, all available Brother Branham messages, MP3 format. Also, you will find some videos and some explanation of some of the things about Brother Branham's life. So we invite you to listen, invite you to find out about this messenger. So this morning we're going to continue reading the quotes and have the Lord put them together so it will be quickened to our hearts. The mystery is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the mystery, because Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Amen. That is what we believe. And brother and sister, heaven and earth can pass away. The laws will pass away. Things will pass away. This earth will pass away. But there's one thing that will hold sure for all eternity, and that's the word of God. Why should I base my life upon something that would pass away? Why would I base my life on what somebody would say? Or on some house or some land or some car or some health or whatever it may be? Why must I base my salvation on that? But you base your salvation on the eternal word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will never fail. So hang your soul on the word of God, hang your soul on this revealed word that the prophet brought, brother, and you will not fail. You will be there when the roll is called up yonder. You'll be there when he breaks that eastern sky. Oh, glory to God and the glory of Jesus. You shall see, your eyes shall see him. Amen, and none other. Oh, even as Job, he saw the rapture. He said, oh, though these skin worms shall eat me, glory to God, yet in my flesh I shall see God. And brother and sister, while we are still upon this earth, we shall see Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, we shall see him coming in the sky. Amen, while we are still upon this earth, amen. And then we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So, brother and sister, we want to transition now into that word of God. Hallelujah. We'll be reading from three portions of scriptures. We like to read from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. We like to read also from Isaiah 26, verses 1 to 2. And also from Isaiah 52, verses 5 to 10. Three portions of scriptures this morning. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. Isaiah 26, verses 1 to 2. And Isaiah 52, verses 5 to 10. Let's read from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride ordained for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And I just want to read back one thing that really struck me as I read it. It says here, and a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. So the temple is with men now. And he shall dwell with them. So they're saying God will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. Now the Bible, to be sure that we understand that God himself is going to be there. He repeats himself here. He says, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And who do we know is going to be in that new earth and new Jerusalem? It is Jesus Christ, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So let's read now Isaiah 26. The book of Isaiah chapter 26. We're reading from verse 1 and 2. Praise God. In that day shall the song be sung in the land of Judah. We shall have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, shall enter in. Praise God. Hallelujah. And let's read from Isaiah chapter 52, verses 5 to 10. Isaiah 52, verses 5 to 10. Praise God. Okay, amen. Thought I got the wrong scripture. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 5 to 10. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They shall rule, they that rule over them, make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With a voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth unto joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord had comforted his people. He had redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord had made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of his wonderful and precious word. Shall we pray this morning? Our Heavenly Father God, this morning, Lord, we have read from your word, Lord. Oh, Lord, we are already blessed by the sign. We feel blessed, Lord, and quickened. We feel your presence all around us. Lord, and how happy our hearts are now to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus, to hear now these precious words that will come out of his mouth, Lord, that we will hear with our ears this morning, our spiritual ears, when you speak unto us, Lord. Now many have read the word and read the Bible since this Bible was first printed in the 1600s and so on, Lord. They have read these things and even before while it was on scrolls. But Lord, anybody could read it and get an intellectual knowledge. But only you could come forth, Lord, out of the pages of the Bible, out of the pages of the Word, O God, and quicken these words to our heart. We'd surely like to know more about that great city. Surely like to know more of what you would have us to know, Lord God, we pray. And Lord, Lord, bless the hearing of the Word, Lord. You said, O Father, the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach without being sent? And how blessed are the feet of the gospel of those who preach the word. So, Father, this morning, Lord, touch me, Lord, and use your servant. Lord, as we come to bring your prophet message back unto the people, rehearse it in their ears. Father, the same way, Lord, that you come behind the prophet message, Lord, and vindicate this word with signs, wonders, and miracles. Father, we are looking for that. Signs, wonders, and miracles to take place in our lives, Lord, and those who hear the word. We ask these things now in the name of Jesus Christ, that he will get all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. Amen and amen and amen. So this morning, we like to continue what we have been, this teaching message. We have been teaching since almost a month now, about 3 weeks. This is like the third series in this teaching. We're teaching about a holy convocation. And this morning we want to talk about, this will be the holy convocation, part 3, the new city, the new Jerusalem. So this morning we're going to recap a little bit and then talk about the new Jerusalem, the new city. And we have so much quotes again, I'm not going to get it all, but I'm have to paraphrase it. I will tell you where what book it is in, so you will find where it is written. Amen. Praise God. And you know, Brother Branham preach, we're going to take most of our quotes from this message called The Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom and the Earthly Bride. It was preached in Jeffersonville, Indiana, Sunday, August 2nd, 1964. And we want to take quotes from that book. So if you have that book, you will continue to read it and see for yourself where Brother Branham talk about this. And you have the tape, you will hear him speak it himself. Amen. So our title for our message this morning, The Holy Convocation, Part 3, The New City or The New Jerusalem. And what is our subject this morning? Our subject has always been one subject, which is the subject of the whole Bible, which is the big from the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation. There's nothing that they don't talk about except to glorify one man, to glorify one person, and that's the man Christ Jesus. So our topic, our subject this morning is Jesus Christ, the King of New Jerusalem. the king of the new city. That is our subject this morning. And what is driving us this morning to look at this topic? What is inspiring us? What do we want to, what is driving us to search the word, to search the scripture, to search the prophet message? And what is inspiration this morning will be that the city that we are bound for. Amen. We are bound for that holy city. Amen. That city that we are bound for. Amen. We're heading towards that city. So that's our inspiration this morning. And I just want to recap a little bit. We were talking about a holy convocation. And what is that holy convocation? A holy convocation is a solemn assembly. A holy convocation is a time of solemnness, of holiness, of recognition. And you know that all these universities and so on will call a convocation. And what is a convocation? A convocation is a bestowing of honors. A holy assembly. I'm sorry, a solemn assembly that it will bestow degrees and honors. And there's what you and there's not no screaming and shouting and people run up and down the aisle or whatever. But what it is an holy. It's a solemn thing that these universities will have. It's called. It's almost called like graduation, but it's a holy convocation. I'm sorry, it's a convocation. It's not. I'm talking about the universities, a convocation, and then they would have something called pomp and circumstance. It will call pomp and splendor, pomp and circumstance, and everybody will be dressed on all their robes, and they'll be marching down to the anthem of the school, the university, pomp and circumstance, and the president will be all dressed. We'll be all dressed up in his garment and whatever. And they will be leading pomp and circumstance. It's a solemn assembly. And we believe that it's coming another holy time. There's coming a solemn assembly when Jesus Christ himself is leading the bride into the new Jerusalem. Amen. A holy convocation. No more sorrow. No more sickness. No more time. Because why? Because we would be part of him. Tears will be dried up. Amen. You would see now. Amen, many men. Praise God, amen. So let's read from the praise God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen. We see it's coming also first the millennium. And then this holy time, this holy convocation, the new Jerusalem, a time of rest, a time of where there's no more time. Amen. Praise God. Let's just read what Brother Branham says in paragraph 196, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride, Jeffersonville, Indiana, 2nd of August, 1964. Brother Branham said paragraph 196. Sorry. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Paragraph 196. It says, well, you say, I see this, do, and that. Oh, yes. Weeds live the same way, see? But it's got to be the entire word to be the bride. You have to be part of him. He is the word, see? And what a part of him is? The word that's promised for this day. When he calls his bride, be a part of that. See? Sorry. You get it? No, don't lose that now. And he make it a fit place to live through eternity. He's talking about the millennium and also the new earth. Now notice, this still not referred, this millennium reign, the 1,000 years, is not the new earth. See? The millennium reign is a different reign. That's what we go into, the millennium. That isn't the new earth, the new heaven. No. It's just a rest place. See? A rest place. Not all the new heavens, not at all the new heavens and the new earth. For you see, in the millennium, we have things that could not go into that. We talk about the new heaven and the new earth. It's a type of the old seventh day out of Eden. The seventh day after he made the world. The seventh day, he rested in Eden and the millennium. See, the world has now almost 6,000 years. See, every 2,000 years it had a destruction. See, first 2,000 years, the flood come. He baptized it with water. Next 2,000 years, Jesus come to sanctify it and claim it, dropped his blood upon it, called it his own. All right, I'll come again. Now as king and his queen. And the second 2,000 years, what does he do? He comes and gives his rest period. And then burns her off and claims it for his own. Put his own back on it. Now notice, not the perfect world this millennium. It's a type of the seventh day. And then comes the white throne judgment. See, we still have judgment. We are still in time, in the millennium. It's a day, 1,000 years. It's a time element. Not, don't get that mixed up with the new earth, because it's not. Amen? Praise God, amen. End of quote. So what Brother Branham is saying, now don't get mixed up. What is the millennium and what is the new heavens and the new earth? Now the millennium is a 1,000-year reign with Christ. As we spoke on last service, that how the earth, how we recognize time, and the earth spins on its axis and go around the sun and so on, and the moon and so on, goes around the earth and so on. And we spoke about it in the last service. But what we're saying this morning is that this millennium is a time period. There's going to be day. There's going to be night. The sun is still here. The moon is still here. We still have the sun and the moon and the day and night. Because we must count 1,000 years, Brother Bram says. So it's 1,000 years. But then we must separate now the millennium and this new earth. We must separate this with between the millennium and the new heavens and the new earth. Now after the millennium, the Bible says Satan will be loose for a short period. And then he will bring wars upon the saints. And he'll camp around, he'll surround the camp of the saints. Amen. Maybe we may be having a camp meeting, praising God and worshiping God. And Satan will come down and camp around us to destroy us. Amen. I don't know how it's going to be. But the Bible says that Satan will come down and to come against the encampment of the saints. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what we see now is that after the millennium, Satan will be loose for a short period of time. And after he's loose, then he goes and tempts, bring Gog and Magog and all the nuclear arms that are still here. And they will come and they'll try to want to destroy the saints of the living God. But remember we read last time, and I think I'll read it a little further down. We read where Brother Branham says that while all this nuclear thing is exploding, while this the sea is going to explode, while all this earth is going to be burned, while all the elements is going to burn with a fervent heat, the bride of Jesus Christ, the saints of God, will be taken away from the earth, and we'll be up with him, up in another dimension somewhere, waiting until all the earth is burnt, amen, till Satan is cast into the lake of fire, amen, and is burnt, every germ, every tree, everything that is not right here upon the earth will be burnt by fire. Amen. And then comes the white throne judgment. And then comes the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem. Amen. What we also found out, if you read Zechariah, I think it's chapter 11. I'm not so sure. Zechariah, where it says that there's a mountain that's going to be pushing up. Pushing up in Jerusalem, Mount Olives, is going to be a volcanic reaction. Brother Abraham say, while we're up there with the Lord, amen, not the marriage supper, but the second time we are caught up with the Lord up in the air, in another dimension, while that is happening, volcanoes are going to explode. Amen. The molten lava is going to cover the whole earth. Amen. All this nuclear reaction going to cause the sea to explode. Amen. Hallelujah. And remember we spoke of it last time. Then the earth will be thrown out in orbit. Amen. Glory to God. And then after it's burnt up. Amen. The same earth. But after it's probably burnt up. Oh, hallelujah. Then what happens? Then the new earth will come out. And then the holy city will come down from heaven. But this is the eighth day. This is the eternity. Amen. This is the holy convocation, which is the eternity. Read in paragraph 214, future home. And now we got an eighth day. Now there's only 7 days, but here we speak of the eighth day. Holy convocation. Convocation. Notice, do no work in it. The eighth day. What? Back to the first day. Why it speaks of eternity. As she rolls around without a stopping place. Amen. Do you see it? Now notice, it was also upon this eighth day, last day, feast day of the tabernacle. Notice that after the last feast day, after the last church age, after the last complete 7 days upon the earth, after the millennium, that's this holy convocation comes. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Remember, this is the feast of the tabernacles. Tabernacles, gathering place. Amen. Where? In the millennium, the Bible say, they will build houses they shall inhabit. But in the new earth, he has already went and prepared the place. It's built. We have nothing to do with the building of it. Amen. Eternal. Oh, I just love that word. My, a holy convocation. The eighth day, which is only 7 days. Then on the eighth day, which comes back to the first day again. Comes right back to the first day. The eighth day is the holy convocation. End of quote. So what we're saying here, Brother Branham saying, praise God, hallelujah, that we are coming back to the first day, which is the beginning of the first day of the week, which is eternity. We switch back into eternity after the millennium. So that is what is the holy convocation. Holy convocation is when we step into eternity in the new Jerusalem, in the new city. Amen, amen. Praise God, amen. We have gone through all types of the seven church ages. We have gone through the Pentecostal age. We have gone through all the ages that's gone by. We have gone through the ages of Ephesus. Amen, amen. All the ages that was gone by. Amen, hallelujah. Ephesus. The age of Ephesus started AD 53, ended AD 170. And then we went to the age of Smyrna. From 180-170 to 83-12. Then we went to the age of Pergamos, 83-12 to 606. Amen. Then we went to the age of Thyatira, from 606 to 1520. And we call those times the dark ages. And then we had almost 900 years of dark ages in Thyatira, from 606 to 1520, about almost 900 years. And in Sardis, we had from 1520 to 1750, about 500 years of dark ages. And then from 1550 to 1906, we had the Philadelphia Church Age. And that Philadelphia Church Age ended when the Pentecostal revival of Azusa Street in 1906. And in 1906, the Laodicean Church Age started. And the Laodicean Church Age started when the prophet, about more or less around when the prophet was born. Amen. The Azusa Street Revival. And he took up from the Azusa Street Revival. Amen. And went on. And we know that we have come out of the Laodicea Church Age. And we have entered into the millennium, the another time coming. A holy time coming. We have entered into a bride age. Amen. We are at the threshold. Amen. The threshold of the coming of the Lord. The threshold. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are that threshold. Praise God of the eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. Threshold of eternity. So we have bypassed all those ages. And now we are stepping into the eternal church age. Amen. Where that man that is redeemed will be in that eternal church age. Now what we have seen, God purpose. He made the earth exactly, he redeemed the earth exactly how he redeemed us, each son and daughter of God. First you were justified, then you were sanctified, then you were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you were filled of the Holy Spirit, and then he burns every demon out of you so that the Holy Spirit could come and live in you. In the same way, praise God, he justified the earth. Then he baptized the earth by water, amen, in the days of Noah. And then Jesus Christ came and then shed his precious blood so that the blood would be sanctified the earth. And this morning, amen, there's coming a baptism by fire that's going to burn everything in this world. Amen. The Bible said the elements will burn with a fervent heat. So the same way he's taking care of his individual, he's doing it for the earth. Amen. Paragraph 255, future home. Now notice now. Here we go. after the world's fire baptism, all germs is gone, makes it a fit place then for heaven to dwell upon the earth. And type now of setting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Pass from this dirty like the little woman here into the express attribute of God. And now we are the sons of God. Not we will be, we are the attributes of God's thinking. Now you say, well, look at this priest. Was he a son of God? It proved he wasn't. He couldn't recognize what? He did not say, I believe the Bible. Sure, but he couldn't recognize the express word of the hour. So I just want to interject right here. The true evidence of a real predestinated, elected word seed of God is when you recognize the word for the hour and live by it. Amen. If you say that, oh, we don't want to call Branham name too much, or we don't want to call this or that or the other, then are you recognizing the word of God, a message for the hour, as brought by the prophet, Brother William Marion Branham? Recognize, because the prophet is a reflection of God's word. And if you fail to recognize Brother Branham as a messenger for the hour, then this word says here, then how could you claim tribute of the eternal God? Continuing the quote. Now type now of sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Pass from this dirty like the woman here. Oh, sorry, I'm going back to paragraph 257. Now you see, now look at this priest. Was he a son of God? It proved he wasn't. He couldn't recognize what? Did he say, I believe the Bible? Sure. But he couldn't recognize the express word of the hour. He only had an intellectual learning from some group that had been back before him. It's the same thing today. See, I know that's strong, but it's the truth. There was the word, was spoken exactly for that day. And he was a scholar, but he was a renowned person. But he did not recognize the word. Why? No matter how scholarly he was, anything like that, he still didn't have representation by predestination. Only the predestinated will only be the ones who does it. Only can be. And you only can do it because look, it proves predestination. Because if you got eternal life, you had to be a part of God at all times. Because he is the only one is eternal, you see? Oh my, think of it. Praise God, hallelujah. End of quote. So you are seed of God because you are predestinated, elected before the foundation of the world. And you recognize this end time message. You're not going to say that after the prophet come there's another man. And we must listen to this man and forget the prophet. You cannot say that what the prophet says is filler material. And only what this man bring forth, this apostle of God bring forth, that's all we should be concerned about. The rest of the prophet message is filler material. Oh no, sir. It's the revealed word of the hour. It's the whole roll. It's the whole scroll. It's the whole word of God. And any man that divides and cuts asunder the word of God and throw aside one piece and say, only take this, is of the devil, my brother. Is of a false spirit that is leading you to hell. So listen to the perfect word of God as brought by the prophet, Brother William Aaron Branham. Amen. So let's look at the millennium now. Let's look what happened after the millennium. Praise God, amen. Now watch, paragraph 261. Now watch what happens through the great millennium. Sin all gone. Millennium now sets in. It's time now the Holy Spirit takes its place. Now here you see him. He is not saying that the body, Jesus Christ himself, is going to come in the millennium and there sit and rule. No. Brother Branham says, and the Bible says, that the only time that Jesus Christ is going to come back is in the new Jerusalem, the new city, after he catches away us in the rapture. Amen. I had believed this for a long time, but now I'm seeing it more and more in Brother Branham's message, that we will be here in the millennium. We will be the Mrs. Jesus Christ. Brother Branham said, I'll read it for you a little later on. He said there's three comings. Jesus Christ came to sanctify his bride. Then he comes to retake his bride. And then he's coming back with his bride in the millennium. Hallelujah. That's when he's coming down with his bride, with the new city, the new Jerusalem. The Bible says, as a bride adorned for a husband, dressed up for a husband, this new Jerusalem. Oh, blessed be the name. I get excited. So who is going to be upon the earth? The Holy Spirit in the believer isn't going to rule in the millennium. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to rule in the millennium. Amen. Praise God. Continuing to quote. Let's read it over. Now watch what happens through the great millennium. Sin all gone. Millennium now sets in. It's time now the Holy Spirit takes his place. Just like he does in us, passes from death unto life, dwelling in heavenly places in Christ, in his glorious presence. Even physical death will pass away then, just as spiritual death has passed away now. There's no such thing as spiritual death to a baptized saint of God. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. All scripture will be fulfilled. See, you can't die. You got eternal life. Only thing, the Redeemer has made you recognize it. You were always that. And that's the reason you see the day you're living in. How many sees that? Raise your hand. See? Thank you. The day that you're living in recognizes it. Amen. So here it is that Jesus Christ is only going to come back when the earth is burnt. Now he's going to come in the rapture, but he's not going to put his feet upon the earth. We're going to meet him in the air, because this earth is full of germs and sicknesses and bacteria and Ebola and this germ and that germ. But he's not going to put his feet even in the millennium, because it must be burnt and clean for this great God of heaven dwelling in the Lord Jesus Christ to come and live amongst his people. Okay. So in the millennium, we're going to be here for 1,000 years reigning. Amen. Reigning. With the Lord Jesus Christ living in our thrones of our heart. Amen. According to what Brother Branham says. Amen. So heaven and earth has met God, and man has been reconciled. Now you see, that's Holy Spirit. Let's just read it here. Oh my, here we go again. Time has run out on us. So many pages to go. Paragraph 274. Heavens and earth have met. God and man is reconciled. A restored Eden has begun. See, all the curse is gone. Just like all the curse of sin is gone when the Holy Ghost accepts you. See, you don't accept it, it accepts you. Because it's God's attribute. And if it's the Holy Ghost, means God's Spirit. And it's the attribute, the thought of God, has accepted you because you were ordained for that purpose. See, yet you was born in sin. But God had that attribute. And here you express yourself on earth. And he comes down and gets you. And you're back here where you belong, predestinated. See, I interject there, predestinated. See, sin has lost its power. That's right. The desire has gone from the heart when the Holy Spirit comes in. The restored person. And when the earth is restored by the same thing, there will be no more cursing, no more storms, no more winds, no more typhoons, rather. They are reconciled. God and man has met. The new earth will put on its Eden beauty again. Praise God. Amen. And then the new earth will be put on its Eden beauty again. And the new earth will spread forth after her baptism of fire. Think, she'll catch fire and burn up. The elements will burn with fervent heat. All the works in the earth will burn. And all the water will explode. It will ignite and blow up. Everything will blow up. Volcanoes will erupt. And thousands of miles in the air will fly hot burning lava. Every germ. The Holy Spirit of God will cleanse off every speck of all the sin and everything. All the devil will be bound and cast into the lake of fire. God's consuming fire. God's wrath of fire. End of quote. Amen. So after the earth is burned with God's holy fire, what we're seeing? A new heaven, a new earth. Amen. Praise God. Paragraph 292. Praise God. 291. Praise God. Praise God. Like if anything is sterilized, the best sterilization we ever had been is fire. You can take anything and wash it with soap studs and all these chemicals that they talk about. It still ain't free, but you burn it once. And when the holy fire of God sterilizes the earth with the chemicals, he has lifted his bride, which will come into heaven with him while this is going on, and comes back on the earth again, a new heaven and a new earth. The cold winter can't hurt it. The hot summers can't hurt it. The desert will bloom as a rose. Sin and sinners has gone. God and his creatures and creation is dwelling together in perfect harmony. As the heavens and the earth is husband and wife, so is Christ and the church. And they all meet in one big glorious plan of redemption and is brought right back into the bosoms of God again. Do you see it? Amen.
Amen.
Praise the name. End of quote. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, and Jesus gone to prepare a place. Amen. The Bible says he is going to prepare a place. He's going to build that new Jerusalem. And God has created the 6 days he created the earth. He rested on the seventh. And the human, as we would say, civilization has continued now for 6,000 years. We entered into the day of rest. And after the day of rest, Satan will be loosed. And after Satan loosed, the earth will be burned. Burnt, amen. The elements mixed with fervent heat. But our divine architect, our great God of heaven, has created a new Jerusalem, a city. Now this city is going to be resting on the hill, on a hill. Amen. He designed the city for his bride, to live with his bride. And Jesus Christ himself is going to live with her. Amen. He's going to be on the top of that city, in this palace that is setting on the top of the city. Now this city is coming down upon a redeemed earth. Amen. And God, Jesus Christ, has prepared this city. Just as you imagine a man that is going to marry a wife. Amen. And he build little things and he build a house. He knows she likes walk-in closets. He knows she likes a master bedroom, or she likes a sunken living room, or she knows she loves those things. And he knows every love of that she has in her heart. He knows what she desires. He knows what we are looking for. And he's building a mansion there on glory, that when we are caught up to meet him, we'll be sitting with him on his throne. But we'll have a place with him in the palace, way on the top of that mountain. Amen. What a time, my brother. What a time, my sister. The divine architect designed that city that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have it entered into the heart and thought of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Now remember, this is not heaven. This is a city that John said he saw coming down from heaven. Amen, amen. To sit upon that mount, in the mount of Jerusalem, Mount Olives. Amen. Coming down from heaven, just like John the Baptist saw that dove coming down upon Jesus. So the city coming down from heaven. Amen, amen, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it's coming down upon a redeemed earth. Satan has no more hold of it, because Satan is bound and in the lake of fire. Amen. To be burnt. Amen. For forever and forever. But he will be totally annihilated. So let's read about this new city. Amen. This holy city. Amen. Settling down upon this new earth. This earth burnt by fire. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Paragraph 312. Future home. And John said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven, as a bride adorned for a husband. And where did it settle on? Just exactly like it did here upon the earth. Jesus was a part of that earth that the Holy Ghost descended upon. Is that right? And remained upon him forever. It never can leave him. He's always there. He and God are one. Always has to remain. And so John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending like a dove coming down out of heaven, settling down upon a redeemed earth. To do what? To claim every attribute that he made the earth for. every man that was represented in the eternity, and every woman is redeemed then. She has been scored and burnt by fire. And Jesus in his fiery temptation in the wilderness, for 40 days after that notice, it was ready for his ministry to begin then. It was ready for his ministry then. Think of it. The Holy Ghost descending upon earth. Jesus and that holy blood. And watch. I don't go too deep for you, see? The holy blood that was created by God. The blood, the life, the creation of God. Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, you see it? God made in creation. He was spirit. The Bible said he was the beginning of the creation of God. And how did he begin? In the womb of a woman. What is that? The woman is not like how them blind people can't see the serpent seed right here. See? Eve was put here on the earth. And before Satan ever touched her or anything else, God said to them, multiply and replenish the earth. That's right. But Satan comes in here. And that was Adam, if that was Adam's son. Adam was a direct descendant from God. And you only take the nature of your parent. And when you are born again, you take the nature of your parent of heaven. And the parent of heaven is the attribute of the Word. And the Word is the attribute of your parent. Then how can you deny it? For a denomination, I hope you don't miss it. And I know it is of God. End of quote. So you are seed, Word of God. And this holy city is coming down to claim you. This holy city is coming down, descending upon this mountain, this holy mountain of Zion, this new Jerusalem. There you coming down, and you are part of this earth. So there you are, this greater holy city. This Brother Branham said we have to anoint this holy city. This holy city had to be anointed. Amen. And it's coming down from heaven. Amen. That's what the Bible say in Daniel 70 weeks, to anoint the most holy. Amen, amen. The holy city of God coming down from heaven will be settling upon this Mount Zion. Amen. Just as the Holy Ghost descended upon Jesus, just as that dove came down upon Jesus, so that holy city coming down upon Mount Zion. And praise God, hallelujah. And you being a part of the earth, it's redeemed by it. You are in the process now of growing on it. Amen. Your body was justified under Noah's baptism. Amen. And your flesh, when it dropped down there, and the earth is to be cleansed by fire. And the place where you live with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a dwelling place for Christ and his bride, the New Jerusalem. Praise God. Amen. So this city, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So let's talk about this city. Let's talk about the dimension of the city as we are running out of time. Let's talk about the dimension of the city. Paragraph 262. The future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride.
Amen.
Paragraphs 262. Watch this city, earth. Take up its abode on earth. Now you can plainly see it. This changed. The earth must be changed. It cannot have it like it is. The church couldn't go on. Oh, the world could not go on right now after the millennium without being changed. See, we have such a place in it. It will have to be changed. Praise God. Just like we must be changed by his holy fire to condition and make a place for him to be contained within us. That is the Holy Ghost. Notice now, there will be plenty of room in the new earth. See? Plenty of room. It will be renovated. That's true. By fire. But there will be no more sea. Notice. The city is 1500 miles square. Now listen. Read close. While we draw these dimensions. And Brother Branham goes to the blackboard. I want to erase the blackboard just a moment. So Brother Branham erase his previous illustration. Here is a deep revelation from God here. Brother Branham says, I will just stop here. None of these. I'll bring the rest up this. The Lord willing. Now notice. The earth. Well, you turn over into the book of Revelation. You can see how he measured it by cubits. And by the furlongs. 2300. So now we find that the city is measured 1,500 miles square. You know how far that would be? I measured off this week. It would reach from the state of Maine to Florida. And from the eastern seaboard to 600 miles a pass west of the Mississippi. In other words, half of the United States. Just for the city. You say there ain't no room. When the sea is gone, there will be. Because there's plenty, there's pretty near 4/5 of it is water. That's right. The explosion dries up the sea, erupts the earth. Oh my, remember, 1,500 miles square. What a city. But remember, the sea is gone. And I just want to interject here. The sea is gone. And I just want to interject here that in another quote, Brother Branham said that when the nuclear starts and the nuclear explosion, because the sea is hydrogen and oxygen, and because of the hydrogen bomb or the nuclear bomb, it's going to take those hydrogen and oxygen and split the atom there, and the sea will explode. So it's not just one nuclear bomb is going to blow up the earth, is that it's going to trigger a nuclear reaction that has caused the sea, which is both hydrogen and oxygen, H2O, to blow up. Amen? To explode in a nuclear reaction. And you know what happens with a nuclear reaction? Heat that is like thousands and thousands of degrees. Continuing. Paragraph 370. And the breadth and the height are the same. Now that would take it 1,500 miles this way. Now he's pointing to his right. 1,500 miles that way. He's pointing now to his left. And the height. And 1,500 miles that way. He's pointing out on a slope. 1,500 miles. Think about it. Transparent gold. And the city had a wall around it. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean by it being equal. It said, and the walls and the foundations are equal. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's a cube or a square. There's another geographical measure that the dimensions are the same, and that is the pyramid. Four square. Lie at four square. And the walls were the same. Amen? End of quote. So let's try to imagine what Brother Branham is saying here. Brother Branham is saying the city that's on Mount Zion is going to be on a hill. And it's going to be in the shape of a pyramid. So this city is going to be on a pyramid, standing on a four square base, and this four square base is at the base of the pyramid is going to be 1,500 miles if you walk one direction, and if you turn left, you know, walk another 1,500 miles, and if you turn as you turn left again, another 1,500 miles, and finally to close off the square would be 1,500 miles. Now the bottom is the square, but imagine it is a pyramid. So the pyramid, remember, is a slope. So the slope is going to be 1,500 miles slope to the top. So the bottom is going to be 1,500 miles. Now, I have to think about, I'll calculate probably the degree of the slope of the hill. Because remember, it's a mountain. So it's 1,500 miles square, and then it's coming up in the form of a pyramid. And the side, what we would call, like say the pyramid, like the triangle, the hypotenuse is 1,500 miles high. That is what Brother Branham is saying here. This is what the Bible is saying here. So he says, if we are to imagine nowadays that this pyramid, this 1,500 mile square pyramid, how is it going to be if we imagine it? He said it will start from Maine all the way down to Florida and then go all the way across. How many miles? He said east of the Mississippi. Praise God. He said 600 something miles. He said it would be, 600 miles past west of the Mississippi. So it's going to be, if you look at Maine, all the way across, going all the way across Alaska, going all the way almost to the end there, coming all the way down, It's going to be it's about 600 miles west of the Mississippi. Is it west or east? Let's take a look. West of the Mississippi. So, and then going and then coming back now, west of the Mississippi, all the way down, come back over Mexico, all over, way on the other side into the sea, and then come over back to Florida. So what we are seeing, he said, is more than half of the United States. But then there will be no more sea. Praise God. Because why? Because their explosion has to make room for this new city. Paragraph 380. In the earth's time of purifying, by its baptism, paragraph 372, my mistake, paragraph 372. Let me draw it out. So Brother Branham illustrates on the blackboard. See, length, as I mentioned, yeah, we walk straight ahead. If we walk 1,500 miles, straight ahead, length. Breadth, we turn left and we walk another 1,500 miles. Breadth. And height, then we walk up the slope of the pyramid, 1,500 miles. So we are getting into something, Brother Bram says, as sure as the word. See, notice, the dimension of this angle is exactly the same, all of them, length by the height. There is another measure, the pyramid, that proves it. This, being this way, would answer Enoch's sign in Egypt. The pyramid, would it? Enoch, before the antediluvian destruction, when justification was coming in, he brought forth a sign. And in this pyramid is seven steps going to the king's chamber. Watch on the seventh step. If you ever study the dimension of the pyramid, what is going to take out to the corner? The oncomer. What comes out to take the oncomer to introduce to the king? Watch those stations that is standing there. And you see the day that you're living in the pyramid. See? Now God made three Bibles. There is a pyramid teaching. That's nonsense. But there's a genuine pyramid. See? Notice. God, first Bible, he made three. There were to be everything in three. And Jesus, now listen to this quote very carefully. Jesus comes three times. Come once to redeem his bride. Next time, to get his bride, and the next time, with his bride. End of quote. Let's look at that again. He comes three times. When he came down to give his blood. Second time, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, to catch his bride in the air. And then his final time coming is when he comes in the after the millennium in the new Jerusalem, the new city. Amen? Here is the word of the Lord. So the world is going to be but burned by fire. Praise God. Let's just read what Brother Branham says here. Run out of time, but let's read it. Paragraph 380. In the earth's time of purifying, by its baptism of fire, there'll be volcanic, such as this earth exploding, and it will push up a pyramid-like mountain. See? Plenty of room to do it. The whole thing will be changed. The whole surface will be changed. You got it? It will push up a pyramid-like mountain. That will be exactly be the word if it doesn't, which it will. Now notice, for Isaiah 65:25, where we just read, he said, "And they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." Oh, all my holy mountain. Remember, it's always a mountain. And if the walls were straight up and down, the city could not be seen from the outside. Or from the inside. The throne can only be seen from the inside. But notice, it could be seen only from the inside. Now the new city, this is paragraph 382. Now the new city and the new creation, the city on the hill with the throne on the top of it. Brother Branham draws illustration on the blackboard for the next few paragraphs. The throne set up here in the top, and the dwellers all up and down on this mountain. So let's just stop 1 minute here. Here is the throne at the very top of this pyramid mountain. Now the city has come down on this mountain, and the top is the throne. We would think is the palace. And then now, all for 1,500 miles, for 1,500 miles from the top of the pyramid all the way to the base of the pyramid mountain, they're going to be having houses and people up and down living on this pyramid. 1,500 miles all around this pyramid. Remember, this pyramid has four sides. Amen? It has four sides. And on four sides of this pyramid, Brother Branham says we'll have boulevards and streets. And remember, the streets are paved of pure gold. Boulevards and streets and rivers and trees and things in this holy city. Now, this is the city. Amen? Let's continue reading. And the wall that's around this had 12 foundations. And each one of them had the breastplate, the breaststone that was in Aaron, which represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Now in the gates, they had four gates, just exactly like the temple in the wilderness, like the tent was in the wilderness. Now notice, had apostles, three at each side, 12 apostles. And it was 140, the walls was 144 cubits high. 144 cubits is exactly 216 feet, making each one of those big stones almost 20 foot tall. The breastplate in that gate making up that wall that was around the city. Amen. So here's Brother Branham saying, there's a 216 feet wall all around the city. Amen. And these stones that are almost 20 feet tall, these stones are making up this wall. And on this wall, there are going to be four gates. And three apostles going to be on each one of these gates. These gates, there will be 12 apostles on all the gates. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, here's this what Brother Bram said. Paragraph 395. Now, the city doesn't rest on top of the wall. Because it's a city, 1,500 miles, could not do that. It's the wall here that you enter in, like the gates of the old Jerusalem. You enter through the wall into that. And each one of these had the 12 foundation. And each one had the emerald and the different stones, which represents the 12 tribes of Israel. So I just interject here. So here's this 216 feet. Wall around the city with four gates. Brother Branham said it's going to be exactly like how it is in Jerusalem. Remember Jerusalem. Now, it's not Jerusalem. It was not built on the wall. It doesn't rest on top of the wall. But there are foundations on the wall. And you have to come up through that gate. Amen. And at that gate will be three apostles. Praise God. Continuing the quote. Praise God. And the apostles each, paragraph 397. And the apostles each over that big one solid pearl gate set a name of an apostle. And didn't Jesus said, you will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel? Who sat at the gate to judge when they come into the city? Oh my, there you are. The kings of the earth enter into the city, comes before the apostolic judge as Jesus promised. Oh my. Then on top this throne, on top of it, continue the quote, 1,500 miles high, the whole world will see the light of the world, Jesus, sitting on the throne, on top of the world, on top of the church, top of Mount Zion, which is 1,500 miles high, half the size of the United States, and raises plumb up till you can see him the world over, 1,500 miles high. Praise God, amen. And I interject right here, and I see the time is run away on us. I'm only on page 14, and we 35 pages. Maybe we might do another explanation. This is so beautiful. I'm seeing the city. I'm imagining the city. This great, it's a hill. Now the hill, but is a city that is built on this hill. Remember that. So the city is going to come Brother Branham said, like out of God in a comet, like a comet. It'll come on a comet. And then it will come, and the city, now the mountain is already there, Mount Zion is already there. But then the city, with all its houses and boulevards and trees and all these things, is going to come down from heaven like a bride or adorned for a husband. Think about this. It's like a garment. It's like a garment that's going to come and going to sit on this hill. On this hill, and they're going to have boulevards, and you're going to have streets, and you're going to have houses actually in there. Living all the way going down that city. Brother Abraham said up and down the city. Let's read it. Paragraph 399. Future home, August 2nd, 1964. And all up and down here will be the redeemed. There will be houses of pure gold. There will be avenues and parks and gardens and the river of life coming, trickling down from the throne and running down through little chasms and over terraces. And the tree of life will be blooming in every yard. And here its fruits, 12 times a year, change fruit every month. And the kings of the earth shall come into it and bring their honor. And the leaves are for the healings of the nation. When the kings are living in peace out there, when they go out, they'll pick a leaf. It'll pick a tree, a leaf out that, like the dove come back. And the wrath of God have been settled and brought the holy leaf into the ark. So when the king leaves by bringing his glory into the bride's chamber here unto the city, he'll hold a leaf to his neighbor king and said, we're in peace forevermore. Amen. Healings of the nations. It's all settled. One time we fought one another blood, brother, and we have cherished and hollered and shot and burned children and everything. But peace, the healing, not disease healing, it's all gone. Healing of the nation. Oh my, there's so much Brother Branham said in this one paragraph that blows your mind to even think of what's happening. First of all, there's this city. And then the kings who live outside of the city will now come into the city and bring your tribute to where? The bride's chamber in that city. And the bride's chamber is in the throne, by the throne of God. Oh, hallelujah. Because the bride will be sitting with Jesus on his throne. What a privilege, my brother and sister. Can't you live holy? Can't you live serving God? Can't you see this great city? Can't you understand that you'll be sitting with your Lord and Savior in the throne room? Amen. You don't have to build no more city. You don't have to build no more houses there in this new Jerusalem. Brother Branham said this house that you build in the millennium. He says, you know what? He says you could leave it maybe for some of your family or whatever. You could leave it for them. Amen. But you don't. You will have to move into this new Jerusalem, this new city. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You'll have a house of gold, pure gold shining, streets of gold, whatever you want, however you need. He supplies every need. And there you'll be sitting with him in his throne. Now, who are these people that are going to be living in all these different terraces? From the top of the pyramid all the way down to the last pyramid. Amen. We may have to talk about that another day. Oh, there's so much more. But the time is running out on us this morning. Now let's continue the quote. Paragraph 401. City with the throne on top. Revelation 21:23. And it need no light. For the Lamb and the Lord God is the light thereof. See? The Lord God is the pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness. And he is ascended up on the throne and in that perfect kingdom. When time, the kingdom that Jesus is to surrender to the Father, that God might be all and in all, Jesus sets upon his throne. And here is our Joseph. And the king is that light that will be on the top of Mount Zion. And his holy light will flood the entire city. Hallelujah. 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles square, with the paradises of God built all through the city, streets, avenues. Read Revelation 21. And if it isn't right, see, they need no light there, for the Lamb is a light, and on the throne can be seen, setting 1,500 miles. It doesn't run straight up like this. It slants off like the pyramid. If it would be half of that distance, then it would run up like this, you see, from one city to the other. Now, if you notice, from one side of the city to the other one. So what Brother Branham is saying here, end of quote. So what Brother Branham is saying here, it doesn't run exactly straight up, perpendicular 1,500 miles. No, he said it runs up slant. 1,500 miles run slant. Amen. Praise God. It will be half the distance. Amen. 1,500 miles slant. It's all, remember, it's a mountain. And you know, he's saying there are towns almost, or cities. In that city itself, there's cities. My, am I reading right here what he says? Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Let's just read it here. Amen, amen. 1,500 miles with a paradise of God built all through the city. Avenues, streets, read it, amen. And so on, the light of God, 1,500 miles. Amen, he said it'll be like towns. Amen, half the, he's talking about its slant. And there'll be cities, or not cities, there'll be houses and towns. It's one big city. But it's houses and towns that are on this sloping, we call it the hypotenuse, or the it's not a perpendicular, it's the hypotenuse, is the side of the pyramid. Four sides, amen. Praise God. Let's continue reading. Paragraph 4 or 5. It wouldn't be long. Everything is perfectly, geographically, Sodom, the messenger, everything is sitting just exactly right. What does it mean? Just think. Come into this one little tabernacle, 1,500 miles square, from the same dimension. Now hear what Brother Bram says. Why is it God so thought and cared so much about that little place of Palestine, see? When it's just a little spot. But right in there is where the temple is set. That's where the new Jerusalem will break up. Right there, Olive, Mount Olive, shall cleave part to the right, part to the left. Sure, when she pushes up from beneath. Not that they say it's pushing apart like this, it's pushing up. In that day, when he stands his holy feet upon the mountain. Now notice, on his throne, 1,500 miles high. Praise God. Remember, Satan tried to tempt him one time on top of a mountain. See, the new city has 12 foundations. We went through that. 12 patriots, 140 cubits, 144 cubits, being the breastplate of Aaron, 12 gates of pearl, 12 disciples' name, Jesus stand, the headstone, on the throne, when his saints has crowned him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the headstone. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And Barbara, end of quote. Barbara continues on to talk about a dollar bill, to talk about that pyramid, to talk about that capstone on the pyramid. They say that great seal is the Lord himself. He is that capstone. Amen. Praise God. And on that pyramid, yeah, is where the redeemed will live. Amen. So let's continue. Quote paragraph 412, sorry. And in here, in that city, will dwell the redeemed. These avenues and big freeways, as it was, parks, and the rivers of life, the river of life, will draw, run right through it. And every house will be made of transparent gold. And the streets will be made of gold. And the tree of life will be there and will bear 12 manners of fruit. And the kings and the honored man of the earth shall bring their honor and glory into the gates. And the gates shall not be shut by night, because there is no night there. In that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where there cometh no night, I have a mansion over there that's free from toil and care. Oh, I'm going where that city, that Lamb is the light. Don't you see that the towns, the city, the houses, the dwellings that we're speaking of right now, all these natural things are a shadow. So here Brother Branham says there will be towns and smaller cities and houses and dwellings on this 1,500 mile. Imagine 1,500 miles. This is a big place. This is huge. Continuing the quote. Now continue the quote. Praise God. So we in paragraph, reading paragraph 416. There is one bride, not a dozen denominations, but one bride that's the elected out of the earth that has been predestined to this. The ones who can recognize their place in the kingdom. On this throne, look, so high, the new city with the foundations, 12 gates, Jesus, the headstone, the apostles judging the 12 tribes. The pyramid of Enoch casts no shadow. No time of the day. I've been in Egypt at the pyramids. It's so geographically fixed and in the dimension of this geometrical figure that no matter where the sun is, there's never a shadow around the pyramid. See how it is? Now there'll never be no night there. Him on the top of the mountain floods it with his glory. His glory light will be there all the time. There'll be no night there. Jesus, the headstone. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. End of quote. Praise God. And again, we have so many quotes to continue on. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read paragraph 425. Oh, holy mountain. There'll be streets of transparent gold, avenues and houses and parks. And if you want to read it, Revelation 21:18. The tree of life will be there. 12 different manners of fruits. One each month will be born in it. The people that eat these fruits, they will change their diet every month. And it's only for the overcomer. Do you know that? It isn't for denominations. You say you mean that, Brother Branham? Let's turn to Revelation 2 just a minute and find it. Revelation 2:7. Let's find out where it's really the truth or not. Revelation 2:7 reads like this. And he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit. Now remember, he's not talking to the Jews now. This is the church, the Gentile. He that had an ear, let him hear where the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh, I'll give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. End of quote. Overcomers. Amen. That's what Brother Ram says. That's what the Bible says. Let's continue reading. Praise God. Amen. Overcomers only that overcome the beast, overcome the mark. That's Catholicism, Protestantism, denominationalism, who overcome the beast, his mark, the letter of his name, will have a right to the tree. He'll have a right to the tree of life, to enter into the gates where nothing defiles can ever go in. See, think of it. Now, just a minute now, as we go just a little further, tree of life will be for the overcomers only. The leaves will be for the healing of the nations. That is, the kings that live in the air bring their honor in. When they bring their honor in and lay it before the throne of God, just like the outside, the 11 tribes brought in, every one of them a tent to Levi. See, when they bring their honor from the blessed land, in that they will reach from the tree of life and break off a leaf of the tree of life leaf, and they will walk out together. There's no more war. Everything is at peace. The leaves are a memorial for the healings of the nation. And Brother Branham, interject here. Brother Branham said, these kings, these people are living outside the gates of the city. So there will be people living outside the gates of the city. There'll be kingdoms. There'll be fields and gardens and whatever living outside the city. Amen. And that same continued quote, that same tree, Not like Adam. There was a tree of life in the Garden of Eden that he might have eaten if he hadn't fallen. But the tree of life reminded him all the time that his youth was constantly going on. See? Same will the nations. The leaves would be for the healing of the nations. Notice, not sickness now. You'll have the same rights that Adam did. Dove with a holly leaf. Each king will bring a leaf. Notice the river of life. Perhaps many little streams making it up. Now this in this earth, I'm going to close in a few minutes, Brother Adam says. On this earth, I'm just going to stop. There's so much more notes to go on. Now about 30 pages. And he's right. I have, it's 35 pages to go on. Amen. Praise God, amen. Oh, just going to stop. Just how much notes I got. About 30 pages. Now look. Now in this life, I've never seen nothing so quenching as to be in the mountains. And fine, as I preached on the other night, that stream bubbling up. It's life-giving resource. You'll be tired and thirsty. Fall down by a good stream. Way down where the germs can go. Go way down. Hundreds of feet in the earth. It's bubbling forth pure, genuine, life-giving water. We appreciate that. That's little. Now the earth has many streams with refreshing water. When we are thirsty and dying, we get a good cold drink. It will help you live. But look where this stream comes from, the throne of God. There where it gets its life-giving resources comes from under the throne of God, where God sits. All of it, all of the earth, this earth where we live in now, everyone, whether it be Christian or pagan, has temples. Do you ever think of it? Churches, all of them. But this one doesn't have any. The Bible said that there was no temple there, but the Lord God and the Lamb is the temple of it. The Lamb is the legit, is the light. The Lamb is the light. The Lamb is the temple. The Lamb is the throne. The Lamb is the life. He is that temple. See, all those temples have an object that they are worshipping. But in this city, he is the object. He is with his people. His spirit life floods the pyramid city. In Revelation 21:3-14, the tabernacle of God is with man. God has tabernacled in man by redeeming him by these three processes. Now God is going to redeem the earth and tabernacle in the earth with the subject of the earth, which he brought forth from the earth. And through its sin it fell, and he had to let it go on. But now he sent Jesus to redeem that fallen earth, which we are part of. There is not one hair of your head will perish, Jesus said. He said, I'll raise it up again in this last day. Amen. End of quote. And we see that the Lamb is the temple. The Lamb is the light. And there we'll be sitting in the throne with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And after it's 12 o'clock almost. After just kind of keep on a little bit here. I have to read these things. Just a few more things. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, let's read this. Paragraph 459, Future Home. Now watch. Outside the gates of the walls, spread across the new earth, nations will dwell in eternal peace. And I stop 1 minute here. Interject. Outside of these walls of this great city where we're going to live in, will be nations. And they will be dwelling in eternal peace. Now exactly, brother and sister, I know who are these nations. It's in Brother Branham's message. I have not seen it yet. I don't know. We're praying that God will reveal it unto us. But we're taking his word for it. We're believing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Amen. We don't know who these nations are. When they're going to come up. Amen. Oh, blessing. Maybe could it be, brother, could it be the white throne judgment where God is going to judge the earth and judge people? And what about those who didn't know Jesus Christ even before Jesus came upon the earth? I don't know, brother. I don't know, sister. But all I know, Brother Branham is saying, and the Bible says, that there'll be nations dwelling in eternal peace outside of that city. Continuing the quote. Now watch. Outside the gates of the walls, spread across the new earth, nations will dwell in eternal peace. Now what? Honored kings will bring their glory into it. No sin can be there. No more bob deer women will enter the city. I'll guarantee you that. No more shorts wearing, cigarette smoking, whoremonger, whores, liars, idolaters, whatever it was, won't enter that city. No. It will be all over. Sin will be gone. Nothing to defile its holiness and shall enter there. That's all. All has passed away. Look out in the fields and around its gates. The bear will be gentle. The wolf will be tame. And the lion shall lay down with the lamb. And the beast from the wild will be led by a child. And I'll be changed from the creature that I am. Amen. End of quote. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And here we know about this city. Amen. This city, 1,500 miles square. Amen. The pillar of fire, God himself, Jesus Christ, at the top of the pyramid. The pillar. Amen. Here he is sitting. Here he is sitting on the top of the pyramid. Amen. And that city, which is the New Jerusalem. I will put my name on him in the New Jerusalem. That bride or the church is the New Jerusalem, Brother Abraham says. Let's just read this quote. The Philadelphia Church Age, Jeffersonville, Indiana, Saturday, the 10th of December, 1960, paragraph 277. A pillar in the temple of my God, and I will write upon him the name of my God. And what's the name of my God? Jesus. If you want to jot this down, we're getting a little late. Jesus. Ephesians 3:15 says, in heaven and earth, all is named Jesus. You see? All right. And in the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, I will put on him. Oh my. If you see it, it's all the same name. You could have already caught it. See? I'll put on him the name of the city of my God. The city. He goes on ahead and said, which is the New Jerusalem. See? The New Jerusalem. I'll put on him the New Jerusalem. Now the bride or the church is the New Jerusalem. Now how many knows that? And the church itself is the New Jerusalem. You believe that? Now let's just prove it. In Revelation 21. Praise God. Revelation 21. I think it's there where I want it. All right. Let's look back here. The Bible said prove all things. Revelation 21. Listen. Now listen to this, right? Listen to this. You want to see what this new city of his, God's name is? And I saw a new heavens, a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. The new church is the Gentile church. The bride is a Gentile. And the Gentile has his name. He took a people out of the Gentiles for his name's sake. You believe that? If you don't believe it, turn to Acts 15:14. And find out, Acts 15:14, if you want to turn over just a second, and Acts 15 chapter and the 14th verse, I believe you'll find it. And we're just about ready to close. Acts 15 and 14 verse. And after that they held their peace, and Jesus answered and said, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out a people out of his name. All right, there she is. Oh, and now that's about pretty near got the last of it. And now we are close to saying that this is he. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which, and Brother Branham quotes here now, which is all the same, Jesus. 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 And the bride married to Jesus makes it Mrs. Jesus and so forth. Now there are mighty fine women in this building tonight. Mighty fine. But there's only one of them that's mine. She's got my name. I hope you got it. She's bearing my name. So will his bride. All right. End of quote. Mrs. Jesus. Amen. Mrs. Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So the future home, paragraph 478. I've gone a little further, but I do need to put in these last few quotes. It's very important. See, there was the raptured church represented. There was them that was asleep represented. Now, Brother Branham illustrate on the blackboard. In the city, on top of the mountain, there was Peter and James and John looking on through a witness. There was Elijah and Moses and Jesus as a heavenly witness. And there was Moses, the dead, has been raised up. There was Elijah, the raptor, was still alive. And there was both, they were both represented in this holy mountain. And Jesus, the Redeemer, when God, up above him like that, overshadowed him, said, "This is my beloved Son." Remember, Jesus said about a day before that, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that some are standing here now, will not see death until they see the kingdom of God established in power." What was it? The resurrected dead and the raptured saints together, caught up together to meet him in the air, with God overshadowing him and Jesus standing there in his shadow saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear he him, in whom I'm well pleased to dwell, hear he him." That's the order of the new kingdom. Oh, brother, oh, sister. End of quote. Praise God, many, many men. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lamb and his bride is in living in that city, on top of that city. Amen. And there it was, the 4 and 20 elders. And then the 144,000, the temple eunuchs. Oh, brother, we are going somewhere. Amen. We're thinking about that. That all these elders are judging there at the gates. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm bound for that beautiful city. I feel that redeeming power. Amen. That redeeming power coming upon us now. Amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 Let's just read something here from Brother Branham. Oh, that really quick. That was me. Now we are going to that city. Also remember, when Jesus rose from the dead, when he rose from the dead, the saints also rose. Also remember, Sarah, he said, Brother Branham said, Sarah and Abraham and all of them wanted to do a whistle stop. They wanted to pass through Jerusalem to see what it was. And Brother Branham said, they tried, some people may have recognized them and they disappeared. Many, many men. Praise God, amen. They disappeared. But what happened? He rose from the dead. He took them out of paradise and brought them up. So we are seeing the same thing this morning, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And now we are going on to that city. Now the next stage, we are looking for that great Holy Spirit to quicken that word that is in our lives, that will be adopted, standing in the presence of God. It's where God will come down and say, "This is my beloved Son. Hear he him." We'll see the power of God in the lives of the believers. We see the resurrection power. And then this dead in Christ shall rise. And when this dead in Christ shall rise, then for 30 or 40 days, they'll be making whistle stops. They'll be going here, they'll be going there. Maybe they'll come and knock on your door one day. Amen. Hallelujah. And there you'll see your old sainted father or your old sainted mother standing in there. Said, "Oh, the time is at hand, son. Time is at hand, daughter." You'd see, I'd see my old great, my grandmother, Yuna, oh, standing there. And my grandfather Daniel standing there coming. I know he will come to look for me. Amen. He'll be knocking on the door and say, well, he used to call me Jilbo. But you say, "Virgil, it's time to come. It's time for the rapture. Get ready. Jesus come is coming." Oh, hallelujah. Amen. What faith that will put in you. What faith will that put in you this morning, my brother and sister? Live for the Lord. Amen. 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 Live for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. So let me just read this last quote here. That bro, glory to God, that Brother Branham, oh, hallelujah, read for us here. Amen, amen, amen. Brought, Lord, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, praise God, amen. Oh, let's just read it. Just paragraph 510, future home. In just a little while, we'll be summoned up. When the rapture will come, just a little bitty group will be taken up. And that the remnant of the woman's seed that kept the commandments of God and the Jews, amen, have the testimony of Jesus Christ, Gentiles, will be hunted down like dogs and will give their life for the testimony. Then one great morning, the break of the millennium, the honeymoon will start. And then the rest of the dead will live not until the end of the 1,000 years. Then at the end of the 1,000 years, there was a judgment showing that Ham was still in the ark. And Ham is still here, there in the remnant. Others that heard it and reject it will be judged. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now grant it, Lord, he says, Brother Branham, that we will not be considered among them, but that we will be called to the wedding supper. For we do recognize Jesus amongst us today. We are going in with him, out of the world, into him. Let us walk forth in that city. Come out with him. End of quote. So can we pray? Can we stand? Let's close with a prayer from Brother Branham. Glorify Jesus. Phoenix, Arizona. Friday the 25th of February 1955. Paragraph from paragraph 57. O Heavenly Father, as we think today of that wonderful Lord Jesus, how he came, a bleeding sacrifice, came the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. How that those Old Testament saints were looking now without us. They are not made perfect. So they are dependent on us to believe God's word. I believe it is written in the scripture that if they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That spiritual revelation truth of the word of God. I believe it's inspired and I accept it the same way upon these basis. I pray, Father, that you'll heal every person that's here tonight, as I say this morning, and out in the internet, and out in the telephone hookup, that's sick and has a need. Grant it, Lord. Bless all those who are out of the way tonight that doesn't know you. Hasn't this hope in them? It's never been revealed to them yet that Jesus, the Son of God, loves them and is going to save them. If they will only accept him and be born again. Grant it, O Lord. Get the wayward, the man, wayfaring man, yet never has come to be washed, separated by the water, washing of the water by the word. Maybe tonight that your spirit has spoken to him in a mysterious way, said, child of weakness, come tonight. Come and be saved. I stand with an outstretched arm, ready, willing, and waiting to save the lost, making the unkind kindly. Grant it, Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And as we continue to pray, oh dear Heavenly Father, we have come to the end of our broadcast today, Lord. Oh Father, thinking about this great city that we are going to, Lord. And Father, those who are listening out on the internet who may not know you, oh Father, Father, I pray that you save them. Father, and those, oh Lord God, who are backslidden, Lord, bring them back. Let them know the wonderful things that you have promised for them, Father. And those, O Lord God, who are seeking after their own way, turn them around, Lord. Grant it, Lord. And those who are sick and afflicted, Lord, and need help, and need a touch from the body, in their body, Lord, may that healing virtue flow, Lord, from your divine presence into them. And may they be healed and may they be well. Grant it, Lord God, I pray. Father, bless them, O Lord God, as they continue this week, Lord, as we wait upon you and your coming. It was wonderful, Lord, to sit at your feet and to hear from you, O great eternal God. Now, Lord, bless the people, we pray. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you all the peace and the joy. May he open up his word unto you. May he touch your body this week. And as we meet again, God's willing, at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ next week, may you prosper and be blessed and have that little quickening step, bump in your step that you could just trip and worship and tripping along this way, oh, with joy in your heart. Stepping over those obstacles. Remember we preach once, All these things are birth pains. We're being born into that great city. Praise God, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. Let's sing a song. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, que bonita eres. Caes de oro, mar de cristal. And who does understand Spanish means Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how beautiful you are. Streets of gold and mar de cristal. Amen. Streets of gold. Amen. How I long to walk in your streets of gold. Jerusalem, que bonita eres, calles de oro, mar de cristal. Jerusalem, que bonita eres, calles de oro, mar de cristal. Por esas calles yo voy a caminar, calles de oro, mar de cristal, Jerusalén, voy a caminar. Calles de oro, mar de cristal, Jerusalén, qué bonita eres. Calles de oro, mar de cristal, Jerusalén, qué bonita eres. Calles de oro, mar de cristal. Por esas calles yo voy a caminar. Calles de oro, mar de cristal. Por esas calles yo voy a caminar. Calles de oro, mar de cristal. Jerusalén, qué bonita eres, calles de oro, mar de cristal. Amen, praise, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord, hallelujah. Glory to God, amen. Let's sing the song, I Know That Jesus Is Coming In The Morning. Amen. I know that Jesus is coming in the morning. I know that Jesus is coming back for me. I know, I know, I know he's coming in the morning. I know, I know, I know he's coming back for me. I know that Jesus is coming in the morning. I know that Jesus is coming back for me. I know, I know, I know he's coming in the morning. I know, I know, I know he's coming back for me. The Lord bless you all. Let's sing this song, Take the Name of Jesus With You. Oh, take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. Oh, it will joy and comfort give you. Oh, take it, name wherever you go. Oh, precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.